No, you did it. You ruined Snake.
You ruined Snake.
You ruined Archie.
He sucks and now. Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Chani.
And I'm Caroline.
Damn it, you just rolled with it, which I know Caroline appreciates right now.
Let's just leave it as is. People get it or they won't.
Hopefully they get it, because it's not like it's a multi-layered bit, but okay.
No.
It has a lot of layers, like an onion.
Yes, there's lore here. And today we are joined by Season 4 trivia winner and Titty Snake producer, Tawny, for our Season 5 wrap-up. Welcome, Tawny!
Thank you!
Hi.
That's the layers we're talking about.
Many layers. Hello, I'm happy to be here.
How is
it? We're really happy to have you here.
Talking to us for like an hour of your life on a Monday when you've got.
It's been
like
an hour and a half ish. Hour 15.
Is it even Monday? I thought it was Tuesday.
It's Monday. It's only Monday.
It is Monday. We are kicking off another week of this life.
But on a weird, bad note.
On a really weird, this is weird times, guys. Weird fucking times.
Bummer times.
Bummer times.
At least there's not a party.
At least there's a party.
I mean, virtually, I guess. There's no actual party.
Okay, well,
this is the party. This is the
party.
Have
a little, like,
random dancing.
All right.
That was great.
Beautiful.
I feel golden.
Rejuvenated.
Brand new.
We haven't seen you in so long, Tawny. How have you been? Is anything new? Anything changed? Anything you want to talk about?
We are buying a new house.
Yay.
Exciting.
My joke has been that Caitlin Ryan did not have to purchase a house for us. We sold it to someone else.
Really wishing now that you'd hooked a girl up with that referral fee.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Like tuned out you are, because when I was buying my house, you were like, give a bitch a referral. When my mom sold her house, you were like, give a bitch a referral.
I did ask about it, but then let me guess what happened is you were like looking at Zillow or something similar and you hit the like get more info button and then a realtor.
No, a realtor came to the house one day with a card and was like, hey, Brandon, or, you know, we heard that, you know, other houses in your neighborhood have been selling. Are you interested in selling? And I was like, yes, we are.
That's crazy.
Then it turned into a whole thing where his parents had a realtor that they liked and that they used that we had to use her, of course. And then I did not like her. So we had a third realtor and that's who found us our house.
Okay, beautiful. Well, now I am a little mad.
I don't know what happened.
So nah, would it been better fine. For you because it's of fine. The convenience of it all if she had it, just clicked a button on Zillow?
Like, it would be more forgivable. It would be understandable because that's what they do is you're like, I want to see this house. And then, boom, you've got a realtor.
Well, this story of how we decided to actually start looking was kind of cute because I found a house that I liked and he found a house that he liked and we sent them to each other and it was the same house.
Aww, that's
really, really adorable.
But then we never got to see that house because it was already sold.
I fucking hate that.
I'm like, come on, people. But
then you guys, your tastes align. You can't, you know, put a price on that. Because the way that S and I were squabbling over like brick versus siding, and I'm like, I am not getting one of those siding covered monstrosities where they're just covering the entire outside with fucking plastic. I don't want that because if the fucking wind blows the wrong way, boom, we lost a panel. You don't lose brick that... like that, bitch. You don't.
No,
lose
you
brick.
Don't.
And
bricks
if you
don't
do,
just fall out.
It's more concerning if you start losing bricks off the side of your house.
Thank you. We needed a whole mason to be involved in the buying of this house for two bricks. We needed a whole mason for two bricks.
Oh no.
At like, least you didn't need a Freemason.
I did.
I hope you also didn't call the three little pigs. They couldn't even build houses that withstood anything.
No. Maybe that's why I have a fear of like houses collapsing, because I've been in an earthquake in this house and I just stood in my doorway of my bathroom.
Isn't that
and,
what you're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm, but actually they say after a certain year you are not supposed to do that because they did not build the houses structurally for the door frames to be able to withstand that, like to make that true. But my house was built at the turn of the century, so
it's still
she's
true.
A brick dun, dun, house. So, I was like mildly concerned because it shook my entire house and my house is tall. And I'm like, I felt that. But other than that, I was good.
The house was fine.
Yeah, the house was okay.
I don't think houses here were meant for anything other than tornadoes, but they can't even withstand that. So
that's crazy.
I don't know.
You're like, I don't know, but I don't think you will have to. I mean, unless climate change is really bad.
Yeah, we'll just have tornadoes here and derechos and snow.
You don't get like flooding at all? It's too flat, right?
We get flooding
to be a problem.
There's, where I used to live, we had a really bad flood that had like 4 feet of water in the basement and like the whole street was gone. They had to tear down all the houses in certain parts of town. But
yeah,
I don't think that happens here. I think it's more north. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like when there's more, like, incline areas and then, like, the valleys and everything, then there's areas for the water to gather. But when it's all flat and shit, it shouldn't do that.
You would hope.
You would hope.
And this has been geography has been and weather talk.
And weather and real estate. Yeah. But welcome, Tawny.
Do you remember when we were at Smoky Mountain and that woman, like I had mentioned being a realtor, and that woman then spent forever telling us about her horrible house and how it was like all sinking in?
Oh no.
As if you, a realtor,
as if you could like save her from this house.
Do something
no,
about
she
that.
She just wanted to complain to somebody who would know like what she was talking about.
Oh.
I just found all, I think that is, briefly, and then we can go on into the show, but I think we maybe talked about this when we came back from Smoky Mountain about how exhausting it must be for celebrities to get all of that energy and conversation and emotion thrown at them while at a convention or really any sort of event. But like the amount of like in-depth but casual conversation I had to have during that weekend was unprecedented. Like I was so fucking exhausted by talking about nothing and everything and like my favorite characters and like my podcast and like being so high emotion because I was meeting all these cool people, and I'm like, this is like low-key a nightmare. Please only give me this like maybe once a year. Thank
and then
you
have celebrities out there doing it like every other weekend, and they're just getting like thousands of people's like stories and 5-minute little conversations thrown at them all day.
Emotionally, I don't know how you cope. How
and
do
then
you
they
cope
have, like,
with
the
that?
Blank face, and they do the pictures, and they're like, ugh. And you're like, I couldn't.
Maybe they're checked out. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe they're like, I've got to dissociate because I cannot handle. Because I can't not absorb some of that like energy.
Yeah.
So I needed 3 to 6 business months
to recover from the con.
Business
like I was not okay. Neither of us were fucking okay. But
all right, so season 5, a lot happens, eh?
It does. I skimmed through this bitch and I feel like I know all of that. There's so many things that happen, but also not a lot of things happen. Compared to last season, I guess.
Yeah, like,
I also feel like there's a lot of flashbacks. Because there's a lot of callbacks to season four in this. Because, oh, it's a year later. And, oh, mm-hmm. Jay and Silent Bob are back. And, oh, this happened.
Yeah,
and,
oh. Right.
There's a lot of, like, callbacks to previous things. Or you see people and you're like, oh, I haven't seen them in a while. Oh, they're back.
Yeah. It feels like Matt kicks off the season. Oh. I know. Because I was actually, that's how distanced I am from the beginning of the season versus what we just finished recording. Because I'm like, oh, right, we're, you know, Paige, I see that she's, you know, gearing up for university or whatever. But then I'm like, but wait, I heard this agitating, grating voice. I'm like, wait a minute. He's coming back, isn't he? He's back. His greasy ass is back.
His greasy ass comes back, but then gets yeeted into Vancouver.
He's gone, though, now.
I will always say, though, that, like, the most relevant thing that he ever said in his life occurs at in the scene where he's like, Paige, you have all of the answers, but you don't even know the questions. I can't be expected to fit into this.
One of my favorite quotes ever comes from that, when Paige is talking to him and you're dumping me and you're giving me drugs?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Paige.
This is not in the 5-year plan.
It wasn't in the plan.
Fucking 5-year plan up.
Banting is in the plan, not breakups and drugs.
Right. Yeah, no, his aesthetic has, like, always been borderline, like, transient, like, greaser.
Well, that apartment that he used to have, like, really looked like somebody should not be living in it.
Right. It's one step above a hovel. Like, it's dank. It's dark.
It looks like it's going to start a fire at any minute.
Like, does he actually have, like, running water, or is it all just coming through his ceiling? Like,
he has a bucket that collects it.
That's his shower.
That's his shower.
He just stands there and just accepts the water.
Just toilet water. Like, what? Toilet water from the ceiling. No big deal. He just flushed his toilet through my ceiling. What? That's not cute.
When you go to teacher college, I guess that's how it is.
That's a health hazard.
Teacher college is, like, actually the school of hard knocks.
Mm-hmm. It's cut, like, you must cosplay as a poor person in order to get your degree. Just so you know what it's like. It reminds me, like, honestly, I was obsessed with this Lifetime movie, Homeless to Harvard. And it's a true story. It's a Lifetime movie. It's a true story. Thora Birch is in it. And, I mean, she's beautiful. That's probably why I watched the fucking movie, to be fair.
She's a great actress.
She's great in that movie. She's got the range. But the aesthetic, literally, that character is homeless. It's in the title. Homeless to Harvard. And she looks better than Oleander, who's supposedly been living in access to shower. Yes. Yes. And maybe even, like, cut things to cut his, you know, beard. His beard has not been touched.
No, he shows up and he looks like he's been living outside with Grizzly Adams and just catching fish to eat or something. Like, he looks like he has not seen a shower in forever. Mm-hmm. Although when he lived in an apartment, he also looked like he had never seen a shower. So,
yes, I think there's a pattern here. I don't think he washes himself too much, let alone his hair. So
Paige was so excited. She was mm-hmm. so excited for that date. It was going to be the date.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Life-changing date. Simpson let her out of detention early.
I mean, did Simpson let her out? She just kind of ran.
That's fair. Peter should have tried that approach.
And Peter was like, can I go too? And he's like, no, this is like week one of like 6 weeks. You're stuck mm-hmm. here.
Five weeks detention for sex crime.
Whatever the Canadian equivalent of fucking juvie is, he should be in it.
It's 5 weeks with Simpson in detention is what that, the equivalent is, apparently.
And honestly, not even supervised. Like, Simpson's wandering the fuck around. Like, he's not in there.
Making out with his mummy.
But he's where's not- Perino? Isn't oh, he? Shit. I think he Perino would be hard on people in a detention.
Yes, they eventually do give because they're you know there's detention throughout the whole show. I think they do eventually get a detention teacher, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Perino. That would be.
I just feel like he would be tough on him. He'd be like, "You sit your ass down, Peter Stone. You sex crime someone. Sit down.
He'd be like, "I don't think your mommy gave you enough detention, so give me a reason to add another week. You seen The Breakfast Club? I can go all fucking day. That's another one. That's another one.
Give me 1,000 words on what it means to be a pervert." Do by the end of detention period today. 1,000 words. Go.
And then Dear Quan Mr. grades
Perino,
it.
You asked me who I think I am.
Oh, The Breakfast Club. I just feel so bad for Paige that the only thing that was keeping the attraction to this man together for her was that sweater vest. That's it. Because he didn't wash his hair.
A good sweater vest, though.
A good sweater vest and some light shaving.
Well, yeah, that could have helped.
Because he had, you know, stubble or whatever. Clean shaven.
She came up to him and she goes,
vest.
Oh, you're scratchy.
Right. Like,
I just don't, like, I will never, I mean, I guess I get it, because even someone who seems to have high self-worth, like, Paige has been through a lot. Paige has been through a fucking lot.
Mm-hmm.
But come on, girl, that's disgusting and illegal.
Disgusting and illegal, indeed. And you know what? I think, just like Manny, how we have the hope that she got better friends who'd love and cherish her in the future, and I know that in our hearts that's what happens for her. We have to hope that in the future, potentially, there's some growth there.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
No, I mean, I want growth for everybody.
I mean, but like, that she's like, I've evolved in my decision making. I know that I would never pick this person again, not only because this was an illegal relationship, but also because like they like were not right for me.
She was trying to heal something broken deep inside her, and I get that.
She has always, yeah, she's won it. And I think part of her just was like attracted to the unattainable nature of, I think he was rooted in her trauma. Like, he is rooted in her fucking trauma of trying to like push boundaries, right, and like regain some sense of control. He is not a legitimate love interest. And once he actually starts being a person, she can't handle the shit because he's not.
Well, he's like a dream guy, and then now he's no longer that, and she can't, mm-hmm. she doesn't want the that, illusion, she doesn't want him to be real.
Right, she doesn't want him to be real, because the real version of him sucks.
Is a 20-some-year-old man.
Right.
Is some 20-year-old man who is in college going after his student.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't believe in washing his hair very often.
Or shaving, or cleanliness. Basic hygiene.
But smuggles drugs internationally.
But smuggles a small amount of drugs.
You're breaking up with me and you're giving me drugs. Yes, Paige.
And I cannot speak to the quality of that weed. However, if he
it was like already this
pre
much.
If he if that was pre-ground, if he bought shake.
No, wasn't it? It was an already rolled joint.
There was a joint and then there was shake.
Well, there was a little tip of shake. Yeah, right, because the shake was what had fallen out of the joint.
So did he break up the nugs? Did he grind up the contents of the joint and then dump it in the bag for later rolling? What did he do?
Probably, I don't know, but like,
that's not enough for another joint.
It was like 2005 weed, so you tell me.
To be fair, that elder weed, though it had seeds in it, that shit got you lit, okay? That shit put you on the moon.
I don't want to be in Matt Oleander's head and know what he was planning on doing with that later, so I don't want to think about that.
That was like pulled out of the weirdest pocket, like
Yeah.
It was like the chewed up stick of bubble gum at the bottom of your purse. And he just pulls this out. He's like, here, Paige.
Like, I brought you this.
Like, I thought about you.
I was here in a literal airport and I didn't.
I still want to know, did you stop at your plug's house or did
got a taxi and he's like, take me to my dealer. Wait outside. Paige, take me to my woman.
Paige gets dumped by a loser and then she does some time as a lesbian and then dumped by a second lover about banting.
In between that time, she also has to experiment with being a stoner. And Degrassi categorizes that as smoking half a joint one time.
That whole scene of her and Alex when they've smoked the joint is my favorite. It's one of the best scenes of anyone smoking pot I've ever seen ever. Because they are both so out of it. And I'm like, really?
Her eyes went cross-eyed at one point.
Looked so hot.
Lauren did a really good job.
Lauren did an amazing job.
It's hard to be drunk, so we can put her performance up there with, like, Terry being drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I would argue that, like, all of the high media, it's always, like, too much giggling and too much, like...
Well, and I feel like a lot of people, like, don't think that Terry's that good of an actress, and I'm not saying that I necessarily disagree. And she deserves whatever a Canadian Oscar is for the drunk scene in Eye of the Beholder.
Well, she was like Canadian 13 Emmy. Pretending to be drunk. She did amazing.
Yeah. Right. No kid. And honestly, adults who have been drunk struggle with that. So it's like for her to even conceptualize and be able to carry it out in a believable way for people or to people who have been intoxicated by this thing themselves is impressive. And yeah, as someone who has been high, like, we've got multiple drugs because this is what they're gonna put it in that category. We have multiple weed storylines coming up. This is one of the more believable in terms of how they act because Alex is on the whole, like, different wavelength than Paige in the way they're behaving. I think Paige is way more relatable. She's like in her head and like trying to, I mean, the joking, I don't think is any aspect of being high, to be fair. I don't think you feel more playful necessarily when you're high, but that's just me. I don't usually go frolicking through fields unless I want to feel the fields under my feet sort of vibe. But yeah, I mean, it's our first weed scene. So
yeah,
it happens. We get our first stoner.
And it's well done by any standards. And I'm proud of Degrassi. It's probably one of their better drug representations. The first few seasons, honestly, their drug representations aren't that bad.
Mm-hmm. We get I guess the other drug representation in this season is JT popping those. Oxy. What are those oxys? Yeah. Yeah. Popping those oxys. I want more drugs.
Oh, Aaron.
I'm just so not okay with the polar opposite to pick. Like, one is very believable. One is just like the after school special note is hitting a little bit too hard in JT's Oxy storyline.
Yeah.
Because I think when we recorded that episode, I completely forgot that he took the pills, actually. I'm like, I thought he just drank too much or something. Then I'm like, no, he very deliberately takes pills broad daylight in the middle of a field or the middle of the ravine with nobody else. Like, a spotlight's on him. I'm like, oh, right. This is very pointed of, like, he is about to trip the fuck out. And I mean, I won't say it's, I mean, maybe it's less believable because I haven't really done like prescription drugs. The one time I took half a perk, I almost fucking died. So I was like, no, better not do that with anymore. I was in college. I was like, I had half a perk and some Vlad in the plastic bottle. And I
that was that.
Yeah, I woke, like, I went inside and I ate. I remember that. But then I sat up in my armchair and I like threw up.
Ooh.
But if I had not been sitting up, you know, I would have probably aspirated on my own vomit and died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun times. But yeah, so I was like, I do not need to learn a hard lesson twice. I will never fucking touch
those pills again.
Ever. But also, some of those pills induce like nausea in some people. So it could have been nothing to do with the alcohol. But also, don't take prescription pills and alcohol. That's another thing, which is what JT does. So he has to have his fucking stomach pumped. And then his baby is put up for adoption because Liberty can't fucking take it.
I mean, I don't blame her. That's a lot.
She had a lot going on. That was a lot to handle.
I think that was the straw that broke Liberty's back. She's like, you know what?
I've had enough of this.
I don't need this. Like, we're out here literally about to get an apartment and struggle. And you're telling me that you're out here needing your stomach pumped additionally on top of the literal child I'm growing in my womb? Can you please stealing
pills from your job and a potential like law coming after you because of that, and they know you're there was just a lot going on.
Like, one of these things would have been really bad on its own. You don't need to keep adding things to this.
Like, what else can we make Liberty do this season but not actually focus on what Liberty is doing?
Mm-hmm.
Let's have it experienced through her brother's eyes. Let's have it through JT's eyes, but let's not actually talk about Liberty and look at what is happening to Liberty.
No, I still have no idea how Liberty feels about anything.
I don't know how Liberty feels about anything except her dad knowing the mayor.
It literally doesn't matter. That's the last time we got her thoughts.
It's really like... And, like, it's such a great storyline that we never get, right? Because she's only 15. Mm-hmm. She's 15 years old and she is president of the entire fucking school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that I want to know more about because she has everything going for her.
Right.
Right.
And then this happens and there were people that I went to school that there was the same kind of thing, you know, that they had the top grades, they were valedictorian, all of this, and they got pregnant and then something happened. But like, I want to know, like, how Liberty's feeling. I wanted to know what she was going through, what she's thinking, how this is changing her views on everything. And we don't really get that. We don't get
to be with her at all. Yeah.
We know how her brother feels about it. That he hates JT, and we know how JT feels about it. We know how the parents feel. We know how the grandma feels. We know how other people feel in relation to this whole thing that's going around with a 15, 16 year old girl who is top of her school, and then now this happens, and you know, she feels like people don't want her around because she's pregnant and they don't want her being the speaker at things, and she's kind of feeling a lot of that, and we don't get to know how she actually feels about any of it, not till later on, and then we barely even get to know anything about it. It's when she goes to college and they talk about, oh yeah, my boyfriend was murdered and then I had a baby and then, you know, there was drugs, and they're like, what?
And it's not even processing with friends or anything.
No,
like,
that's just processing people.
Right. In a fucking, okay, show me your trauma circle. Yeah. Like,
tell me the worst thing that ever happened to you and maybe we'll let you into our sorority.
Like,
but we
that,
don't get
yeah.
to know her feelings.
Mm-mm. It's not fair to her for all she goes through, honestly. Like, she is treated like a side character, like the girlfriend, Toby's best friend after a while. Like, she is not treated like anybody who is supposed to have any real agency in her own story. Like, she is not even allowed to tell her own story. It's always filtered through somebody else or in a fucking montage, and she gets no lines because we are with her in the
when she gets
room
dirt.
After, not the actual delivery room, because we just see the baby all clean in her arms. Like, I don't know if they moved her there. I don't know. Right. I don't know if she gave birth in that bed. We don't know. But it's very much like, you guys could have spent more time on this.
But they
at any point.
I mean, I can't really think of like that many Liberty POVs at all.
Mm-mm.
Like, Rumors and Reputation is an Emma POV.
Mm-hmm. It's just about liberty, but it's not about liberty.
Right, right.
Liberty, and I'm trying to think of like episodes, big liberty storyline episodes. I feel like the closest one we get is the fucking floor hockey thing.
Yeah, that's the closest we get when they were still doing shit like that. It's not a real problem.
Like Napoleon. It's
a problem, but that's junior high, basically. That's still when they're doing Degrassi junior high, the next generation.
You know, we get her shit with JT, but it's always more from JT's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, like her having a crush on him and him not being into it. Like, we never really, even when the story is about Liberty, rarely are we going through it with Liberty.
I mean, their relationship is on JT's terms. Even last season, when they kiss, that's JT initiating that.
Right.
Like, she is all, like, we're just supposed to lay out, okay, she has always liked him. Doesn't matter that she's had a boyfriend in between him. Right. Doesn't matter that, like, she's older and
that he's spent the last 3 years being a dick to her.
Being an asshole to her, even though she has laid her heart on the line enough for him to at least be, you know, more like, it's very clear that it's not about her. This is not her. She does not get a chance to actually tell her story, because if we, like, all of this is on JT's terms. The king size condom, JT's terms. The I mean, a lot of the initiations and the pushing forward of the story, that's done by JT. Like, the only thing that Liberty is doing is reacting to all of this shit.
Right.
She is, and like, she's reacting on the sidelines to Danny and JT beating each other's asses. She is reacting, like, to JT ODing. Like, you know, she is not, we don't get to spend time with her.
She also hides it for half the pregnancy, pretty much. She hides it for She hides it for so long from everybody, including JT.
Including the audience. I mean, she's already 3 weeks along before we know. Like,
right.
And it's subtly there, right? She's dressing frumpy, she even by Liberty's standards, like what have you. But like, yeah.
It sucks to me, because I think that that's probably a storyline that you shouldn't have be a secret. Like, I get people think that whole trope of a secret pregnancy is interesting. I don't know. Not my thing. What I think maybe could have been a stronger use of that motif is trying to do that with Emma's eating disorder. Like, right. That is a genuine secret that Emma is keeping.
Well, here's the thing,
and I know that we explore that, but like, it would have been nice to have a little bit more of a non, like, of secret, a character we get a lot from gets to have.
Yeah.
How much more of, like, a shock would it be if, like, we just see Emma throwing up one day, like, out of the blue, and we get no buildup. Yeah, versus, like, having Liberty literally deliver a whole fucking human in a montage and get no, like, no storyline that gives us anything.
Right. Well, and, like, honestly, it's not about it being a secret pregnancy. It's about, I think it would have been interesting, like, the fucking reality split that she's having right now. Because she keeps the pregnancy a secret because she literally cannot deal.
Right. She's in denial.
And, like, yeah. I don't know. I think it would have been really interesting.
That would have been very
interesting. And I think Sarah could have done it.
Sarah's a really good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching her play Liberty and going through all of this is really amazing, because you believe it, but then you also just, you want more. We want more from it, and we're mad that we didn't get more, because we know Sarah could have done it.
What she I got, guess the Degrassi she did writers so well couldn't with.
Write it.
They did but not.
Like, shots fired.
Shots fired. That, yeah, because, like, shit or get off the pot. Like, that one line of, like, every day I wake up not wanting to be pregnant, and every day, guess what, I still am. Like, if she had gotten even a little bit more, like a monologue, a couple more sentences, I don't know that I'd be bitching this much. But we just get, like, bits and pieces from her. This is an arc that basically stretches throughout the entire season. Like, she delivers the baby in, I think it's Tell It to My Heart.
Mm-hmm. It's towards the end.
It's either Tell It to My Heart. It's the one where Craig is about to go off to the thingy.
That's Together Forever.
Together Forever.
The way I know these fucking episodes by name at this point. Okay.
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah, no, it's...
The skimming I did.
Well, and, like, this pregnancy, I feel like, is such a crucial... Like, without this storyline, I don't know if JT dates Mia.
He doesn't date Mia.
He doesn't date Mia. He probably doesn't get stabbed. Right. Like,
I now that because of all of this, I know Mia exists. And I know what's coming. And I don't like it. And I don't want any of this. If they had had the baby, or even if they had the baby and still gave the baby for adoption, but some of they stayed together or some, you know, like were amicable or like friend, like something. Right. That whole rock this town would not be a thing, and half the fandom would not be heartbroken about JT and probably wouldn't think he's such an amazing character, because I think people have such a soft spot for him because of Rock This Town.
Right, because he dies.
He doesn't really
like this amazing character. Like, he's funny, he's a smart ass, like he has his redeeming moments, but overall
he is just like, I think they, and I mean, they have to choose a character that is going to have an impact in multiple friend groups. Like, if they chose someone like, I mean, Toby, like, let's say they chose Toby, I think they would possibly have Ash's old friends be upset about it. But it wouldn't be like,
it wouldn't be as organic. Yeah.
No, wouldn't be as organic. He is not that like, he had an intense friendship with Paige. He was the school mascot. He was very involved in like just everyday Degrassi life, like class clown, you know, like he was very much a presence in the school, not just in his friend group. And we are seeing multiple examples of him being so extroverted in a way that none of the other kids in his grade are. Like, Emma briefly hangs out with Paige and her friends, but like, that is for a very inappropriate.
It's like, for a purpose.
Right. Like, and she arguably causes way more harm than like any sort of goodwill. And I think that relationship is tainted because of all the shit she did to Rick. And I think that alienates her more than anything. Like, out of everybody, JT makes the most sense to kill. Like, I'm sure they looked at the board and they were like, okay, we just shot Jimmy. Cannot do that again. Manny just had that whole sex scandal thing. People are not going to be as sad as she dies. Emma, people are not going to be sad if she dies. Toby is, like, not relevant enough to die.
Well, no.
Right.
Hazel's not relevant enough to die. Ash just got back.
If it was from season England. One Toby, we'd all be sad if he died. If it was season one Toby.
Season one Toby, we'd be gutted. That would be like season a My one Girl
Toby
moment.
Season one is JT. My Shayla.
My
season
Shayla,
one Toby is my
that would be like
a
My Girl moment. Like, where is his glasses?
He can't see without
his glasses.
I just think what about season glasses? One Toby, and it's like the ultimate, it's like my favorite character, but he only existed for a very brief glimmer of time. Like, then he was gone. Then he was like Toby, the kind of weird stalker, creepy guy for a while, and just Toby, the guy who hangs out in the shadows and isn't really here.
It's
Toby
sad
who pops
because
up and
it's
is a
true.
Friend of Liberty, but Toby's not a real person anymore.
They really do forget that they want him to play any sort of role. That what he does this season is he gets bullied by JT to like liquidate his bonds.
Yes.
He gets fucking
from his bubby.
And then his bubby probably beats his ass later because her shit breaks down for the third time and like she has amniotic fluid in the bitch now. Like,
not in my bubby's car.
Like Toby's had a shit season.
Toby's had the shittiest season. It's really sad.
It just gets brought every time I come here. I am abused.
That's what he's doing. I like Toby this season, though. Even though all he's doing is just being there for other people and he's getting beat down by them.
Mm-hmm.
This Toby,
in the background just trying to live his life.
He's almost up there with season one just because he seems to just be there for everybody, but he's not. He's just having a hard time.
They're pulling him for no reason into the drama. And he's like,
hey, you know, remember when you were almost a main character for a whole season and then we were going to use you and then we didn't? Let's use you now.
And now we just bring you here to be a glorified extra and for the drama of it all. Yeah. Because that's why he's so fucking happy. Because he's a glorified extra.
He gets paid to be a main character but not actually have to do much.
Right?
No, he's not getting any, you know, he's not stealing pills from his place of employment.
No.
He's not
the rent
having an
is
ED.
Not due.
The rent is not due.
The rent
he
due
is
for
in
JT
a
and
rent-controlled apartment, and the rent has been paid in advance. So he is fine, and he is happy and thriving until he gets pulled into, 2.5 plot lines. In a season. In an entire season. They did you really dirty, Toby. They did you really dirty, Big Talk. It's really sad. But, I guess if JT, and his death has no haters, we have sadly left this earth. I think. Because I just hate on that being, why people love him is because he died.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of easy to die. I'm just saying. It's kind of like the...
It is really easy.
I would argue the harder thing is to live. So, did he just took the easy way out, I think. No, please don't send me hate.
Stabbed.
Please don't send me hate. So
they say
sorry.
It in Hamilton that
if
you know,
Avis has
all
no
they had
haters,
to do was die.
If Avis has no haters, then JT is dead.
JT's like, how dare you? But fortunately, we don't have to worry about that right now.
That's for season six.
Because Toby doesn't have an eating disorder this season. Emma does.
Emma
and
did.
A broken home.
And Peter is in existence.
And Peter's
terrorizing
there
the town.
Right, to make it all just a little bit worse with his potato salad.
And his fried chicken for
and
a vegetarian.
Right. He did no research. And somehow he's still better than Derek, ? He just looks objectively better than Derek, I guess.
My
to
favorite
Emma.
About all of that is when Manny and Craig are like, we met this guy and he's really cute. And I'm like, it's fucking Derek.
And then it's Derek.
You,
yeah,
right.
You don't describe him that way.
Yeah, they were very rude for that.
Mm-hmm. No, you should have described. We met a guy. You're single. So we thought he'd work for you. Don't call him cute. Don't call him any of that. No.
This is a warm body.
Derek.
We literally know nothing about him. He's half your height. He's a grade below us. Somehow only a grade below us.
We don't really know anything about him whatsoever at all, but you should date him.
He was ableist to Jimmy for a minute, but they're cool now.
Yeah,
he caught him a 3-point shot, so he's fine now.
So they're good. All square. And Emma's like, why do I want to talk
even
to this person, let alone date this person?
Did you guys really set me up with this guy? All right.
That she should be highly offended.
I wouldn't even talk to them anymore after that. I'd be like, bye, Manny. Move out.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Manny's over there being astounded that Craig, successfully made a transaction in her honor. He went through with a purchase for me. That is a very low bar, Manny. He's taking me to see a band. I don't know the way she says that.
The way she looks immediately, it's not a big deal.
Right,
it but
is
she's like,
just a band. I am in a band.
It's
you
like
see my band play
the biggest
week.
Thing in the world to her, though. She's so excited. She's so happy.
Maybe that's why she's so fucking happy, because she's like, Craig's gonna finally stop locking me up in his fucking shed to listen to his shitty ass band. He's taking me to a real band.
Like an actual band.
Remedy.
It's not the Zit
Remedy
either.
And Ellie is not involved. Nope. Ellie is not on drums.
I won't get hit with a drumstick at this show.
The way that I have such a problem with the plot hole of Ellie being able to nonchalantly, almost like she's bored, do the drum, you know, the drum set for the weddings, parties, anything. Not weddings, parties, anything. It's the other. No, it's the second. It's the second episode of the season after Venus. Is it weddings, parties, anything?
Isn't that Death of a Disco Dancer? That's the one after Venus, isn't it?
Oh, then, yeah. No, that's the. I am talking about the weddings, parties, anything with Joey and his. Yeah, no, just how she's very much like zoned out because she's so irritated that Manny is up there playing the tambourine. How is she bad at drums? Just a couple of episodes later, so bad that she has to be cut from the band.
They forgot that she was good.
They forgot that she was so good that she could like not care about what she was doing enough to. And like still not miss a bit. Like she did not fuck up the song until she threw the drumstick. That fucked up the song. Other than that, she was playing the drums fine.
Well,
what are you talking about?
She just had to be better than Spinner because Spinner wasn't good. So,
I guess being better than Spinner was like
the bar is in hell.
The bar doesn't even exist. You just
the
have
limit
to,
does
like,
not exist.
You just have to hold a drumstick and smack something once in a while and you're better than Spinner Mason.
To think Shane was a real-life drummer.
Spinner wasn't actually that bad of a drummer. It's just that's what Craig says. He's like, oh, well, you'll do. It's fine.
Yeah, I think that, like, canonically, there probably aren't any bad drummers in these bands or, like, players of instruments until the fucking plot calls for it.
Until they're like, wait a second. We need to make Ellie bad at drums because then we can kick her out of the band and Craig can go off by himself.
Because they need a reason to kick Ellie out of the band and they completely forgot that they wrote her to be a satisfactory drummer. Yeah, if not amazing. I would say that if you wanted to be like jip her, you could say she's satisfactory. But like if you really look at what she's doing and the drum, like the actual arrangement that she's supposed to be playing, it's not easy. Like, she is the backbone of a funky-ass song. A funk fusion
that
song.
Music, though. Oh, my God. I listened to that at work today while I was just getting ready for tonight to record this. And that music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. Craig was in
somebody played that
his
at my wedding.
They do not look like the couple that you play that at their wedding.
What?
You don't.
It looked like they were transported from like Degrassi Junior High times. Like this is the Zit Remedy would have played at this wedding in the 80s. I don't know. That couple, like that wedding dress. Mm-mm.
Yes, her wedding.
Can you
imagine
your sister booked the Zit Remedy to play your wedding, and then you had to walk down the aisle to an instrumental
Everybody Wants Something.
Yo, I think that at this point they should shop that around.
I think that's what I'll walk down the aisle to.
I think I walked down the aisle to a instrumental version of the Office theme song, and then my husband and I walked out as man and wife to an instrumental Rickroll.
I mean, I'm here for that. I love that. But I think now I'm announcing it. I will get married to the Zit Remedy.
Got it.
And it'll be great.
I'm going to hold you to that, Tawny.
Right.
I'm going to wear a Joey Jeremiah fedora.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go that far.
No, I'm going to.
But I'm
gonna
be at your wedding. And
apparently, Caroline draws the line at a fedora.
If you don't walk down the aisle to it, I'm going to like be like, I object.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to season 5 wrap up of your mom's podcast and hear that you declared to the world that's what you were doing.
Mm-hmm. I just pull out my boombox like I'm John Cusack and say anything except it'll be playing.
Everybody wants.
No, it'll be playing your fucking. Yeah, you saying you were going to do this.
The clip.
And then it'll transition to In Your Eyes, though, because God, that's such a good song.
Oh my God.
It's a really
I'm
good
dumb.
Song. But
Light the Heat.
Imagine you're getting married, though, and Downtown Sasquatch is your band. and you're dressed like it's 1985.
You are dressed like it is 1985 in fucking deed. I think that they there should have at least been like a meeting with the band to play, like, because typically
wedding play.
Yeah, wedding bands, they're not playing their OG music. They're playing covers of good songs to have at weddings. Otherwise, why do you hire a band? Well, unless you really love that band in particular.
Yeah.
I would think you're hiring a band for their ability to play multiple different...
Like covers, right?
Yeah, covers.
Unless you like them and you know their music that they have that's original. But who knows this high school band from Degrassi?
Who the fuck is Downtown Sasquatch to be their fucking first dance?
What are they singing? Some, like, I don't want to miss a thing or something? Like, what is going on?
Yeah, right? Those are on the cusp of... I actually think they're probably full-fledged baby boomers if they're getting married at that point. They are going to want that. Some yacht rock, if nothing. I don't believe this. That they would settle... That they would put their flighty ass... That the bride would put her flighty ass sister... in charge of this task.
That woman doesn't look like she would be Diane's sister, though. That looks like Diane's mother.
It does look like Diane's mother.
It's a really weird wedding.
The casting was, and the wardrobe was different. They were like, let's get the plainest, basic ass, most like strip what Gina Davis wore in Beetlejuice, just strip that. Just strip
basically.
That.
They said, here's your inspiration. Do you love it? I love it. I got it at Ross.
I got
Ross,
it at Ross.
Dress for less.
Oh my gosh. I can't. Yeah, it's... And I mean, Diane does kind of play a role. She low-key sticks around. She makes that Florentine omelet and moves the fuck in.
She does.
And
she wants
starts
something.
Helping. She wants something, and it might be domesticity, because she's out here helping Angie with her fucking homework and shit.
I loved that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's no, cute. I'm into that.
Somebody needs to remember that Angie exists, because it ain't the show.
And it ain't really her daddy.
And it ain't really her dad.
So. Joey barely acts like he's a father at all.
He's more of
I'm
a father
bald
to Craig.
And I'm a father. Right, he is more of a father to Craig. Craig's like, would you ask Angie this?
She's
bitch,
seven. She doesn't
Angie.
Need me.
She doesn't need me. She's seven. She can take care of herself, Craig. Like, you need. Like, the way Joey's like, I haven't talked to Angie in weeks. What the fuck are you
Who's
talking
Angie?
About? Who's right? Angie? Who is
Do you
she?
Mean- Do you mean baby Tori over here?
Like,
not
I don't know
Tori.
Her. Like,
oh,
she
God.
Knows she if she wants me, she needs to, like, ring my bell and I'll get to her when I have time.
She
I don't...
needs to come down to the car lot and let me know that she needs me.
She once she does her weekly shifts, because I know he has her work in a tech car.
She washes the cars.
Child labor laws be damned. That's
she
all
just
she's
stands
there, for.
There with, like, a sign.
Is she one of those
cute.
Jeremiah Motors?
Because she can't flip the sign, so she just stands there with the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And people just think she's a midget because, like, why?
Why would a child be doing this?
Why would a child be, like, but arguably, like, that is about as useful as Angie could hope to be in this plot. Because, like,
right.
We have nothing for her to do. She's got homework, supposedly.
Well,
she's
soon,
not giving sass to Caitlin, so she's not.
Soon she'll be gone.
She served her purpose, yeah.
She has served her purpose. It's fine.
She's
we don't
not,
need her.
Yeah, she's not the cute sister anymore. Craig doesn't really give a fuck about her either, actually. Now that come to think about it, Craig is like, couldn't be fucking bothered with her.
Craig's like, who are you?
Craig's too busy learning what cocaine is.
Craig's like, I've got new friends now.
He's like, I've left the main cast. You cease to exist.
Oh my gosh. It's so bad. But I mean, Joey and Angie are just not. And I know they are struggling to keep Joey doing things this season. But like, he's age shamed. And then he's like a a couch for Snake to cry on.
He needs his buddy. Snake needed somewhere to go. I'm happy Joey was there for him. But we also didn't need that whole storyline with Snake and Hot Sauce and any of that either. We didn't need that.
No, that was so unnecessary.
They ruined this season, if anything, ruined people's character. And some of them were longstanding characters for 20 years. And they took them and they ripped them apart and destroyed them to their core and then tried to build them back up and make us be like, oh, it's okay, it's fine. We've moved past it. No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You ruined Snake.
You ruined Snake.
You ruined Archie.
He sucks and now. Right. It's never going to, like, he's never not going to be the guy who cheated on Spike with Hot Sauce.
And right.
The whole way that plays out is so stupid. You're at the premiere with your Emma's in there somewhere, you know that all the kids that go to the school that you work at, all the parents, the faculty, everybody's there for a movie premiere, and you're just making out with her in the theater. What are you doing?
You ever did something you shouldn't have with someone you shouldn't have been with?
And Emma's like, oh shit.
Emma's like, the way that I never needed to hear any of that shit. Like, I am the child here, dad.
She also calls him dad. She's like, dad. And I'm like, oh.
She's hurt. Like,
Emma's mad. She's hurt. Like, she's upset.
She's upset. Like, she has let her guard down. Because I don't think that Emma got enough credit for, like, how much she had to go through with Spike and being literally Spike's partner.
Right. Yeah.
Throughout everything. And that shit is exhausting. And getting older and being in a stable environment where, yes, my meals are cooked. Yes, my laundry is done. Yes, my parents are, like, my mom has an actual partner and I have a dad and I have somebody else to lean on in addition to my mom. And I have additional support. All of those things that she got used to literally are out of the window overnight.
Yeah, it's all taken away because of Snake making out with Hot Sauce. It doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah, no, it's...
It doesn't, and it's
I wonder if there are, like, deleted scenes.
The way that I thought the scene in when she walks in and she's like... like, she talks to him and she's like, oh, I thought you'd be out there enjoying the sunshine or whatever. The way that I'm like, I know I've seen this scene before, but why does it feel, like, more illicit now? Because, like... Why, right. The way she's like, I was hoping you'd take me for a ride.
I think.
On your dick? Gross.
Right?
I've seen some of the deleted scenes and, like, the bloopers from, like, the first two seasons. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it from other ones, but there has to be more to it because I don't think you go from, ooh, you have a bike, I used to ride a bike, I like bikes, to making out in a movie theater where your kid and the other person's kid is also in there. I don't think you would get to that
we
point
skipped a
that
scene.
Way.
Yeah, we
it doesn't make
scene.
Any sense. It's very and out like, of nowhere.
It's very out of nowhere, and I know that, like, I can relate to being an adult and a lot of my daily social interactions coming from my place of work, okay? But don't shit where you eat. Like, no. Why do you, even if you have that attraction, you are not having any sort of logical thought about that, which means you genuinely like this person. Or if you don't like them, you like what they represent to you or whatever. Like, and I think it's just Daphne liking the person that he is, you know.
That she thinks Snake is
that
being
she
now.
Thinks, right, that because he has a bike. Which is, to be fair, a pretty fucking superficial thing to latch on to somebody for, especially since it's been established that he didn't pick the bike for any, like, real reason, like, technical knowledge of bikes.
He
it's
didn't
not
pick
like,
it because he worked on bikes as a teenager with his dad, and he loved bikes, and this is the bike he's wanted since he was a child, and he saved up enough money. No, he just got a bike.
He just got a bike from a dude. He knows nothing about bikes. He doesn't know. He is literally just going through a crisis.
It's like,
yeah. And he's biking about it.
He's
And once that's been established, the way that she's still like, I am wet for him and this fucking motorcycle is disgusting.
It's
And it's not all her, obviously. Snake is the one who is married.
He plays a role in it and he makes a decision, but I don't know why that's the decision he has to make, and that's who he makes it with. There with all the kids at the school that they both work at that are there, and they know that.
Right. All within, like anybody could walk in.
Anybody could have
just seen, like, it's just not a good idea. And that leads me to believe that not only was he acting out of passion, but he's also acting out of, like, reckless abandon for his life. For the life that he has, and his daughter being steps away from that situation is so callous. And it behooves me that I'm supposed to forget that this shit happens. I don't, I low-key, high-key don't accept it. Because it's like the way that, like, you have to be so, okay, I don't give a fuck. My whole life can fucking implode.
Well, that's the vibes I'm getting.
Yeah.
You're supposed to forget that it happened. And this is a character, if you watched, like, the classic, if you watched Junior High and High and then School's Out and everything. If you've watched these, this is a character people have loved forever. People grew up with Archie. People have, you know, people who watched it when they were teenagers when it first was on have now, they're the same age as him. So they've grown up with him. And then for us, a lot of us, you know, like, he would have been like our parents' age. And so we're looking at him and we're like, this guy's really, like, he's a great teacher. He's there for Emma. Like, he's there for Spike. Like, he's really, really good. He's there for the kids. He cares about them. And then they do this and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. And I mean, I think on the episode that we discussed this, Emily said, like, oh, and this isn't my baby Snake. This isn't the Snake that I knew. And I think it was, like, contradicted, like, okay, we got to give people grace. They grow up, you know? But also, I think that lean into that a little bit more, like, Snake has always been a character with a very strong moral center.
He seems like he's just that good guy that would always have the code of conduct that he would go by. And this is something that he would not do. And I know people age and they grow up. People change. And you
people
can have
get
that crisis.
Tired.
He had cancer.
Maybe he's tired.
Going through something. And I get that. And you can change who you are. But, like, this is a very drastic turn from who we've seen him as forever.
Yeah,
to
his
what
morals.
He becomes. And it's,
it's just a turn from who we morally know him to be. And we have a lot of examples of him being a really moral guy and, like, having, like you said, a strict code of conduct. So it's really weird. And it's, like, almost like he just said, fuck it. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
And, like, there's not much of a, 'cause, like, the possibilities of what could happen, you know, what if no one sees you? Okay. What happens after that? What do you do after that? If nobody saw you making out in the theater, would you have gone further?
There's no way I believe that it didn't, that this was the only time something happened.
Right. Like, they were in close proximity riding on the motorcycle together. Like,
we don't see it and I don't want to see it, but I feel like it had to have happened. Like, something had to have happened. There had to have been kisses somewhere else, or, like, embraces, or, like, you know, some rushed past somebody and then they're like, oh, hey. Then they felt like this could keep going, and then they did it in front of everybody that could have seen. But I don't know.
No, I think that's fair. I have such a problem with Hatsalakos, because not only does she do this shit, but also she brings Peter into the mix, and that's just unforgivable. And then, like, her reaction to Emma and Manny following the incident is, like, unforgivable to me. Like, the way she looks at her and shakes her head, like, that
it wasn't her son did that.
Yeah,
it was her child who did it. You would think that she's the principal. You should
How could
be ashamed
you do something
of
so
your,
heartless. Yeah,
like, there's no reason for that. And Manny didn't. He took advantage of Manny. He sex crimed her. He was the bad one in that. And his mom is the principal, but he's still at school and he's still there every day.
In her face.
How you like?
In
I
her
mean,
fucking
like,
face, literally.
He's just right there.
She didn't have him apologize or anything. She didn't have him write her a letter. She didn't have him do anything. So honestly, a public apology would have been appropriate, considering as to the fact that he fucking splashed her boobs all over the fucking school.
She couldn't even give him a long enough detention. Like, it should have, at least, if we're just doing detention, it should be the entire year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That boy should lose his junior year as far as his social life goes. And he doesn't need to be dating. He doesn't need to be talking to girls.
Mm-hmm. But that's all just forgotten midway through the season. And he's not only forgiven and redeemed for, like, saving Emma from her fucking ED, but he's also a fucking third in their friendship now. And it's just fucking stupid.
Right. No, I hate it.
And she doesn't deserve that shit. No one deserves that. Like, she should not have to see him every day, let alone have to, like, engage in conversation with him every day. And everybody's thinking that shit is normal.
Well, then he records the performance that she does in High Fidelity.
Yes.
And then he hands it to her, and she's like, oh, you taped that? Oh, wow. And she's so happy. And I'm like, Manny, you wouldn't be acting like that.
He couldn't take my fucking picture.
I wouldn't have even let him anywhere near me.
Yeah, you're not ever going to point your camera and like capture media ever the fuck again. Right. It should have been a consequence of his, like, he should not have been allowed near any sort of, you know, phone, any sort of camera, any sort of video recording equipment. None of that shit should have been allowed to.
No, give him a fucking original Nokia. They still had those then.
They still had those. He would have been fine.
Whatever on it. Snake. He played Snake on it. He didn't, like, need to take pictures of anything.
Mm-hmm. There's still third places. You don't need your phone to do homework. You don't need a, you know, camcorder to do homework. None of that shit. Literally, natural consequences. You record someone without their consent. You don't need a recording device, bitch. Boom.
Right.
Take your dumbass recording device away. I just, she's not a good parent. She's not a good parent. She is a reactive parent, and she doesn't even react the right way. So, yeah. Peter's here, though, obviously.
Peter is here.
And he's just not going anywhere. And they really try to make us care that, like, of course she's there for him, or he's there for her when she needs it, but ultimately she could have just been the fuck alone. Like, she would have got through it. She would have been fine.
Mm-hmm. She had Manny.
She had Manny, yeah.
They would have been okay.
Manny exposed. What did he do but run upstairs and call 911 because he didn't get signal in the basement?
Right.
Yeah. Like, he barely even did anything, but he was there.
He was there. Yeah, it's annoying.
I was just gonna say, since we'd been talking about Emma or Manny and Peter and everything anyway, that, like, I had empathy for Emma this season in a way that I don't normally. And also, like, I don't care.
Yeah. She, and I mean, there's a lot, I agree with that. I think her arc is, again, one of the more interesting, but it's because a lot of her issues can interconnect. And I think it's nice to see the layers of what she's going through, but...
Yeah, it makes you sad because they don't do that with other characters. But then they could have made issues that they have connect to each other.
Totally.
Like, issues from other seasons or that continue and carry on. They just forget about it. With Emma, they build on it and it connects. And it connects,
and she grows through it, and she gets a lot of nuanced situations to play into. Meanwhile, fucking Jimmy just gets flashbacks of him getting shot.
Yeah, no.
And, like, of harassment from his dad about, like, yeah, various Paralympic trials. I don't, it's not fair how well developed Emma is.
Do you
when
think
other
it's...
characters are just starved?
Do you think it's because Emma's the reason we even have TNG? Because if Spike had never had a baby and they didn't decide to keep showing it, that we would have never had this. Is that the reason why she's so well developed? And it's because she's the only one we're supposed to care about? Is that why they did?
I think that's part of it.
I think it's part of it.
Right. She's like the anchor. She is the, like, why. She's the why now. Not the why. The why now. Because that's a movie thing of, like, why are you telling the story now? she is the why now of Degrassi, the next generation. But it's also, I think that they struggle with that, with Emma being the why now, because they don't let her go for arguably past the time where she should have been let go because she's no longer in Degrassi. It's about Degrassi. Right. So they're like, they had to kind of recalibrate and be like, well, no, it's not actually about any one person. Maybe people are featured, but it shouldn't be about any one person. And I think after Emma leaves the show, they really do try to correct that. And they try to give each character maybe more fleshed out things to do or whatever.
Yeah.
Not make it so episodic, but it's like, then they do the same shit. They have Claire's, they have Maya Matlin's. Yeah, it's very hard not to have a main character. And even though Emma's the main character and she gets all of these things to do and all of this nuance, like, it doesn't mean that we don't see the contrast and like wish that it was doled out a little bit more evenly. Like, Hazel gets scraps. The best Liberty part of this season,
other people's.
Right. Liberty gets like POV, third person POV, you know, and fucking Hazel gets a slow motion walk up with the hot outfit on. And that's the highlight of her fucking season. Booked. Wrapped.
Like, and then now she's... This is it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see Hazel
now
anymore.
Now she's not even, like... in the background. She's just gone. Yeah. She's just... Yeah.
After graduation, I think she only ever gets mentioned, like, one more time, and that's it.
Which is crazy, because literally several episodes before... Paige is like, I love this girl and you better be fucking nice to her. I'm gonna punch you in the face. And Alex is just like, I just said that she should stop shopping so much. Chill. No, it's very uneven, and the empathy does not equate me caring or wish or like make me wish less that other characters did not have the opportunity to shine. Because, like, Manny's just Shane this whole season. Darcy's a part of the main cast now. We get her Jesus bullshit.
Yeah, that's a whole... I those were the episodes I skimmed through. Yeah. And as a person who is a really big Spinner fan, because I like seeing how he started and then kind of how he has his arc and then he kind of goes through all his changes and he becomes like the Spinner I know and love.
Mm-hmm.
The Darcy shit, the Friendship Club, no. I was angry. Like, it makes me angry. And Darcy shows up, and when I heard the episode with your moms on it, and they were talking about, I think it was your mom, Avis, about Darcy and all, the way she talks about Jesus is every other word out of her mouth, but the way that she's dressing and the way that she's acting is not very Jesus. Every word out of her mouth is, it's so true. That's how and that's how a lot of media portrays people at times. And that's how it kind of is. I feel like in the real world too, where that can be, you might say all of that, but that's not what you're doing.
Exactly.
And I don't know. I don't like the character of Darcy. I like Shanae. She's a great actress.
I like Shanae too.
She's amazing. And I think it speaks to her being a really good actress that I freaking hate this character so much.
Right. She does. She hammered that home every chance she got. Yeah. And I think she's not even as bad in this season. She gets really bad. Especially when she's, you know, talking about Manny, when she talks about Mia, she gets terrible. But, like, they are just opening up, like, the can of worms that is all of her religious bullshit that we have to unpack. And her saying, like, what's okay, we'll find the Lord together to Spinner. I don't know.
There was a lot of it that rubbed me the wrong way. Like, I just am thinking about... She's talking to Spinner about how Manny needs to become a virgin again and Manny should do this. And, oh, Manny's just been out there so much. She's just horrified at the fact that Spinner has had sex. That
right.
Spinner
right.
is not a virgin. And if they had sex, that she would not be his first. And as she's finding out about it, wasn't just Manny. You know, that there has been others too. She's just horrified. And it's... He wasn't honest at first, but he at least came clean about it and told her, you know, hey, I'm not a virgin. This is what's going on. But like the expectation that she put on him, that's horrible. And he's just a teenage boy. He's going to try to go along with it because he feels like he likes her and he loves her. You know, he wants to be with her and he's in a relationship with her and he's going to do what he needs to do. But it just, it's not the way. I don't know.
It's shame. She's shaming him. And like, that's and not friends. That like religion is already, once you're in the bitch, is already going to shame you like itself. You don't need to add another layer on of like making him feel bad about his sexual past when he is trying to like start over in a way mm-hmm. that you understand.
And he does. He tries to turn over a new leaf. He goes to the friendship club with her. He's going to the events and he talks to Jay about it. And like, you know, Jay is Jay. Yeah. Hogarth is just a mess, but
right.
he's really trying for Darcy and she just keeps shaming him and making him feel awful about the past that he can't control. That's the past. He did it. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. but she's making him feel awful about himself and that's not good. You don't want that in a partner.
Right. And honestly, he doesn't deserve it. He has been nothing but forthcoming after he accepted that, like, I think his like apprehension of telling her was like, if I tell you this and there's no way for me to take back my past because religiously, I don't think that there's a thing that you do to become, because that's not that's not an issue. Like sex is not seen as something that's dirtying of one's soul. So you don't have to cleanse it. But like, he is really working hard and it's just like, it's not good enough for her.
Mm-mm. Nothing
it's
is
not good enough for her.
As she finds out more about his past and about more who Spinner is, more mm-hmm. about Spinner, it's like she doesn't actually like Spinner for Spinner. She just likes the idea of Spinner that she had.
Yeah.
And the way that she can kind of manipulate him into coming to Friendship Club and to learning more about Jesus and trying to be a Christian. And she only wants him to do things that she wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
She's very controlling, I feel like. And I don't know. Some of it I forgot about from previous like watchings of it, but when I watched it under a different kind of lens, I'm like, ooh, wait, I don't feel very good about this.
Right,
I've never really liked her character, but I really don't like her character.
Yeah, no, the vibes are fucking off. It's like, how much does someone have to bend over backwards for you?
Mm-hmm.
I can see that my lovely Caroline is fading.
No, I'm here. I'm here.
She's here.
No, I mean, we have been talking. It has been a long day. Do we have, I didn't really compile lists. I was like going through.
I never do compile like.
Yeah, for the wrap up. I was just going through, honestly, each character.
Right.
And thinking about their journey throughout the season.
I don't feel like enough happens with like Ellie that I need to talk about her.
No, I mean, Ellie's more of a compliment of Craig's whole thing. Like, and that's how she starts the season. That's how she ends the season. She starts with getting involved in Ashley and Craig's shit. That becomes her bullshit. Has a ghost moment. Convinces Craig to... Has a drum moment. Drumstick moment. And then has a drumming incapable moment.
Sends Craig off to find cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks up Jimmy and Hazel. Like, yeah, no, she's just kind of like she's there.
She's a plot, a home wrecking plotter.
Marco sucks this season.
Marco does suck this season. The only notes I had about Ellie at all were just about her fashion. I didn't have any actual notes about Ellie, but I have a lot of notes about Marco's fashion too, but I don't really have any actual notes about.
Right.
Okay, let me just double check.
He convinces Tim to come out to his family when he hasn't come out to his own family.
Yep, that's mm-hmm. pretty gross, honestly.
Yeah, I don't really like that, but...
And then, like, drags Tim along to make Dylan jealous. No, Marco's gross this season. Mm-hmm. Hazel is lovely season, but we only get little glimpses.
Mm-hmm. We get
Andrea
way more of
Alex
is so this
sassy
season.
With that hat. Fling.
Yes.
She was so cute in most of her outfits too, except for when at the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Like Marco in her outfit, no. I don't know what that was. No, thank you. But otherwise she had great. She always looked good in the background. I wanted her to be a main character. I wanted her to have stories. And I feel like that's too much to want sometimes with this show.
It is. Yeah, no, I think we I I mean, we obviously get Paige and Alex more through Paige. Do we get Alex? But we get some of Alex dealing with like her mom and Jeff or Jeff Chad Chad. Her mom and Chad.
I feel like he's a Chad, but I don't know if that's really his name.
Right, like I
don't. It is his name.
Okay, I was gonna say he seemed like a Chad.
And like I think it's just setting the scene for obviously next season and the furthering of those domestic issues. But like, yeah, I mean, the one thing I guess I did write down is that I noticed that Manny saw the ad for Dr. Andres twice. And I'm like, once in the mall, once on the bus. I didn't notice that before.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, there's like a poster in the mall, like one of those, like it would have been a movie poster in one of those size frames.
Wild.
Yeah, so that was a little thing I noticed. I'm like, oh, I've never noticed that before. But, yeah. That was my only note. My other one is a fashion note.
So then is it time to move to the corner of all corners?
The ultimate fashion corner.
The ultimate fashion corner. What we usually do is just both say, like, our number one and our, like, our top fashion and our worst fashion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to kick us off, Tawny?
I had two for best. They were a tie for me, and they both happened at the premiere. Mm-hmm. It's Liberty and Emma.
Oh, yeah.
I can dig that, yeah.
I couldn't pick one. Liberty looked lovely in that color, and it was gorgeous. She, her hair, everything. And then Emma's dress, that's a prom dress. She should have worn something like that for a prom. It was gorgeous. I loved the multicolored everything. I don't know. Those were my two best ones.
Yeah.
No, that's great. So I do have, I'm going to bend the rules a little bit, because my ultimate favorite piece of attire is Liberty's Lacoste fucking ballet slippers. But my favorite full outfit is Manny in that yellow t-shirt.
Yeah.
With the green and the red like design on it. I think she looks so good in that. And my least favorite was Marco's like layered popped collars.
Oh, I didn't even list my worst one.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm what's your worst?
My worst is Darcy and her green ugly bag that she carries everywhere. But also that pink top that is it that a scrub top?
It kind of looks like a scrub top. Yeah. Yeah.
But she wore it multiple episodes because I was taking notes and I was like, oh, there's the green bag again. Oh, there's the green bag again. And then I was like, wait, that's the same pink top that I can't tell what it's supposed to be. It had like white piping or something and it looked like a scrub top or like a maternity top. I don't know what it was.
It was not good. Yeah.
That was my absolute least favorite thing other than her green purse. And I think I'm picking on Darcy just because I don't like her.
Which is perfectly valid.
So she could have worn the most gorgeous outfit and I would have been like, no.
I don't accept it.
I don't. Put it on Emma. Put it on someone else. It's fine. Darcy? No.
No. So my best outfits, I have two, but I think they're a pair. I have Paige and Alex at the premiere because I think they're it's so lesbian coded. It's so cute. And I love how they're like bookends, like Bobsy twins. So cute. My worst is Spike in this fucking army top with the bedazzled popsicle sticks or the bedazzled popsicles or whatever the fuck, mushrooms, whatever they are. They're bedazzled and they don't belong on this fucking shirt.
It's not a good time.
It's not. And it's bizarre. Yeah. And I don't like it. So, yeah.
I'm not here for that top either.
No, fuck that top. I don't want to borrow it.
Oh, God. Sorry, now I'm just, like, picturing the top.
I watched that episode earlier at work, and I was... What is that? Yeah, I don't know if it's mushrooms or popsicles, but equally ugly.
So for our hun count, we have a whopping 9 huns over 4 episodes, which seems pretty weak to me, but that's what we had.
That is what we had. As far as the black holes, we had in Total Eclipse of the Heart, we have Mr. Ellis and Tim. In Tell It to My Heart, we have Mr. Del Rossi's accent because it fucking disappears on sight. In Eye Against Eye, we have Linus and Melinda. And in High Fidelity, we have Miri and our beloved Hazel. And we also lose the little makeshift family that is Joey Jeremiah, the car salesman, the used car salesman, his daughter Angie, and his sort of girlfriend, Diane.
Nah, I mean, she's doing math homework with Angie.
His live-in girlfriend. Let me put some respect on her name. His live-in girlfriend, Diane. They are joining Hazel in the black hole because they moved to Calgary or wherever the fuck they move, and they're gone. So
Hazel dropped her graduation hat and just
kindly escorted herself out of the series.
I hope that her dreams flew higher than her hat.
Me too.
But you know what can you do?
I mean,
that brings us. I mean, pour one out for the homies.
Yes.
And that brings me to us. That brings us to my favorite part of the wrap up. The coveted Teacher of the Year award.
Mm-hmm. It looks a little different this year.
This year's not the same.
I mean, it's been Archie
4 years running.
Yeah, I think it's no secret that Archie, the Snakester Simpson, has taken this award like 4 years in a row. However, we cannot in good conscience reward this behavior this year.
He's not even getting nominated this year.
He's not even nominated. I have an envelope in my hand. Is it a relevant envelope? No. But I do have an envelope in my hand.
So do we want to list off the nominees then?
Yes.
Who are the nominees this year?
The nominees
are Coach Armstrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Miss Kwan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Avis, will you do the honors?
I will.
I can't wait. Who is it going to be?
The winner is Mr. Armstrong.
Yes. Love
All that. Right.
Because he's doing the Lord's work and he is underpaid.
Because that man teaches almost every class at this school.
Yep.
And he breaks up fights. He's security too.
He is out there doing the job every day and loving it.
He earned
and
this.
And now making out with the principal, so he gets an award.
Not even once.
Sadly,
I hope not.
Sadly, Mr. Armstrong could not be here today to accept this award, but we will accept it on his behalf and make sure he gets it, of course, mm-hmm. as we always do.
Yes.
But yes, we have a new Teacher of the Year, and it is Mr. Armstrong, and rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Well earned.
Well earned.
He earned it this year. He did a great job. He's earned it other years too, but Archie beat him.
Archie just edged him out all these other years, but like, no, this year mm-hmm. is his year.
Who is the shiniest star this season, and who is the superest bummer?
Oh my god.
The shiniest star. I know my shiniest star.
Who's your shiniest star? Because
Manuela Santos.
Yeah.
Manny.
She could have beat a bitch's ass so many times. And by a bitch, I mean Emma or Peter.
I would give it to, like, yeah. I think yes, there's a case out. For Alex.
Yeah. Alex did, like, I have to think about who didn't really get into any shit
so
this season. Who just, like, got shit shoveled on them this season and still emerged gracefully from that shit shovel?
I yeah. mean,
I think Alex really spent the season wading through Paige's expectations and bullshit interchangeably. Yeah. That she deserves nothing short of an award. Like
I would agree with that. And I would say, like, if it has to be like one ultimate shining star,
mm-hmm.
it's Alex over Manny. I love Manny. I think she's great this season, but I think it's Alex.
I don't know. I have to give Manny props because a lot of people wouldn't still stand by.
And I know a lot of people would have left that damn school. Manny stuck it out and she had to stand there while everybody knew what Peter had done to her and she had to face Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see the case for Alex too, though.
But then she also turns around and still is there to emotionally support her best friend who dated the guy who committed a sex crime against her.
And, like, that's admirable. And at some point, like, I don't know, stop giving Emma a pass.
Totally stop giving Emma a pass.
Have
I just think
fucking self-respect, Manny.
I think she just is a great friend. And she, if I think about things that I wouldn't do, because at this stage of my life, the way that my fists are set up when I'm super, when I feel I've been wronged, they just got a mind of their own. And I feel like once you like uppercut somebody, you cannot be friends. Maybe dudes do that. I don't. I feel like once I throw blows, like we probably shouldn't be friends. But I think that it's just like a testament to her maturity that she does not like completely tap out of everything to do with Emma, completely tap out of like.
See, and I disagree because I think the thing that makes you awesome is the thing that makes you suck. And Manny is a great friend, but right now she is going too hard as a great friend. And it's like, it's too. Her own detriment, it's to Emma's detriment. Like, I'm sorry, she is a great friend, and that's great, and Emma doesn't deserve it, and she deserves
Emma
to walk away.
Emma doesn't deserve
and,
it.
And Manny deserves to walk away from Emma, and I think if Manny loved herself more, she would.
I want Manny to love herself more, of course. I just think that... And I mean that maybe I'm trying, I don't know if it's rewarding, you know, like laying down for somebody or whatever. That's not what I'm trying to say. It's more that she knows the kind of person that she wants to be. And I know that she needs to develop more self-respect for herself, but also in the viewpoint of a teenager, you know, and a young person, I didn't develop self-respect until very recently. Okay.
Right.
So I can't judge her for, like, letting people who, you know, maybe have done you fucking wrong still in your space and still be a big part of your life. Like, I can't fault her for that because I did that for a long time.
I mean, and I'm not faulting her for it. I just think that that's why Alex is the bigger shining star for me.
No, I get that why. I get why she is that for you. I think I just... Manny went through a lot this season, and she still comes out very strong for me. Yeah.
And then, two for Alex. She came out of everything that happened in season four, playing a part in the shooting and everything, and now she's, like, changing who she is. So I can kind of, I see her case, too.
Yeah, no, Alex has a very strong case.
I'm willing to give them a tie if you are.
I think they need
a
tie.
No, they can get a tie because, like, Alex stands up for herself. She literally tells someone that she loves and that she could continue to be, you know, in a relationship with if she wanted to be, if she just conforms to what Paige wants her to conform to. And that would be a perfectly acceptable thing to do at this time in her life, honestly, because you're still learning. But she's like, no, I'm going to do this shit on my timetable. Like, that has to happen on my time, not yours, not anybody else's. And that I respect that as an adult, as a kid, whatever. Like, that is hard to say to somebody that you love and that you want a relationship with or who have a relationship with. That's very mature. It's very evolved. She totally has a very strong case for shining star as well.
I think it's a dual shining star moment. There's two of them.
There's two.
And they're both lovely and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And there they are.
Yeah.
So the super bummer, I guess, now, the counterpart.
I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I think the answer is Peter.
It's Peter.
Peter, yeah. As far as characters that aren't just supposed to be menaces to society in general, like Jay. Yeah.
Right. A lot of people suck this season. Marco sucks. Darcy sucks. Spinner sucks. Fucking suck. And Peter is still the worst.
Peter makes me upset that I'm watching the show every time.
Right.
I see him in a scene.
And then I know that he sticks around because he's still around when like Holly J is doing stuff. Like,
He bitches around.
He sticks around for Maya.
Yeah. He like fucking doesn't move on. He does not matriculate. Like,
he doesn't go anywhere else. He's always somehow lurking behind a curtain or something.
He's like actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf. It's terrifying.
Yes. I think that was,
clean. I think he's unanimous that he is the worst. Mm-hmm. He is Satan.
Well, yeah, I guess we got to ask the ultimate question about this here season, which is, did it go there?
Does it go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't no shootings, but it did.
I mean, we have an ED with one character getting another one to like go down that path with them for a while.
Right. There's a sex crimes.
Infidelity.
A baby being born that we don't really get to see be born, but we see it.
We have
an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Homophobia.
Jimmy's parents trying to kill him with that ramp.
Oh, Jimmy's parents fucking an OSHA violation.
We saw a ramp that looked like that the other day driving around. It was after I watched that episode and I pointed it out like, hey, Jimmy's parents hate him. Look at that ramp. We saw one in real life and I was like,
they fucking hate differently abled people here. They fucking hate. They just want you to go through.
Well, we also had ableism because of Derek, the way that he was treating Jimmy.
Yes, so we had ableism because of Derek. We had home wrecking because of Ellie.
Home wrecking, but like with no interest.
With zero follow through.
She's like, I'm just
going
to wreck this home because it needs to be wrecked.
This home needs to be wrecked. No, you know, no follow up.
You can thank me later.
You can thank me later. This home needed to be wrecked, demolished.
I think this season really did.
Pregnancy. It was a lot this season.
Somebody's selling drugs.
Right. Drug supplying. Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot going on.
It went there.
It did.
Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks for our final trivia showdown between Amber and Katie.
This season of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by Herbal Essences, the Kevin Smith Home for Wayward Youth and Used Car Salesmen, and support from listeners like you.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining
us,
dear.
Thank you, Tawny.
You're welcome.
Always a pleasure, girl.
Yay.
Biggie, oh my God, get out of my way.
We would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie.
Miranda.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika,
Brandy,
Chelsea,
Corey,
and Tawny.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.